Excited to be part of your family. And one of the things that I appreciate, especially about Territorial Drive Alliance Church, is a sense that I get of the value of healing and reconciliation. Every time I'm here, it comes out in conversations and people's stories, and I love that about being at this church. As we drove here this morning, I was reminded of my own story, that I am a prairie girl. I grew up in a church much like TDAC, and things that spoke into my life were the Awana program, the quizzing program, and so when I'm in your church and I hear this DNA, to reach out with a message of Jesus to your community and to disciple us so that our roots go deep in the Word of God, I remember how important this church was in my own personal formation. So thank you. Thank you for what you have done. This morning, I want to share with you a little bit of my own story, and then I'm going to share with you a bit about what God is doing through a ministry called Braveheart. But I want to tell you a little bit about what's happening in my life. As many of you know, Andres came into my life 4 years ago. He is still one of the greatest miracles that has happened that I have laid my eyes on. And those two little bundles of joy are big miracles for us as well. In fact, 2 years ago when we were here at this church, we were going through a very rough moment, and we weren't sure that Theo was going to make it through the pregnancy. It was a tender moment for us. You prayed with us, and look at that chubby little bundle of joy there. You have been part of Theo's story too, and seeing him come to life. My life has changed a lot in these years. I used to enjoy the inertia of a single life, and I'd be out from early morning till late at night doing things I love, like ministry. But as I got married, had a child and another child, the inertia of my life began to get slower and slower. Sorry. And I found myself always wanting to do more for God. You could tell me on a logical level, Heather, you're doing a lot for God by being a mom. Yes, I agree. But I wanted to do more for God. I wanted to accomplish things. I wanted to help people reach their measurable goals. And in my heart, there was a lot of discontent that I was not doing more for God. And this has been God's word to me one time after another. Heather, I love you. It's not rocket science, but it's awesome. God the Father loves me because of who he is and who he has called me to be, not because of what I get to do for him. And so I want to repeat that message, and I believe the Spirit wants to speak to your life, whatever you're going through. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what you're doing for God or how well you're serving him. The Father loves you. He loves you, and he wants you to hear that again. This had a prophetic voice. One of the wonderful things in this journey of being a mom is that I feel like God the Father has had a prophetic voice to me through my children. Oftentimes what we see happening in the physical realm is actually something that God wants to show us in the spiritual realm. And so he uses things we can see with our eyes so we can become in contact with a reality that is more real than the reality that we see with our eyes. And the Father's prophetic voice of love to me has been through my children in very simple things. For example, I go for a walk with the kids, and I'm pushing the stroller, and the kids insist on getting out and pushing the stroller. Well, when you're two and you're one, you aren't pushing that stroller anywhere, but you think you are, right? And they're pushing, and I'm behind, you know, the kid's there trying to push. And it's like the Father says to me, Heather, this is your life. So many times you think that you're the one that's in control and guiding it, but I love to do this for you. I'm your Father. I love to take you in the direction that you really need to go. Again, boom, the Father's heart of love for me through my little children. I've had some big examples of God showing me how generous and abundant, how much he lavishes his love on us because of who he is. I think of one time when I took the boys to another park. Much of our life happens in parks. And we're just playing, and all of a sudden, there's these troops of police come in. They go and arrest the whole group. They have these big guns, and about 20 meters away from us, they go and arrest a whole group of young people. My heart is freaking out. I get those kids, I put them in the stroller, and I'm singing them a song, but my heart's like this and going. And I reflect on it, and it's like I hear the Father say again, Heather, this happens all the time. Satan comes in to rob your joy. The enemy comes in and tries to trip things up. But I send in my troops of angels, and it is my joy and my delight to protect you. I'm doing this all the time because I love you. I love you so much, I send my son to give this message, this revolutionary message to humankind. Another time was when we were on the highway, we were driving along, we pay a toll booth when we go on the highway, and there's a group of bandits that will take over these toll booths. Their faces are covered, and they just charge you what the government charges, but instead of paying the government, you pay them, and you keep going. And the kids are sleeping in the back seat, and we're driving along, we stop, we pay them, we keep talking, but there's a part of me that's like, irked, like, this is not right. I don't want to give you my money. Yeah, and so I'm talking to Jesus about it in the evening. And it's like, again, the Father says, Heather, this picture is you and me. I am driving the price. You're peacefully sleeping in the back seat. I stop, I pay the price. It is my joy and my privilege to do that for you because I love you so much. And you are sleeping through the ordeal peacefully. The Father loves you. Not because of what you can do. You can't earn it. His love is generous. It's irresistible. It's relentless. It's overwhelming. And because God is so generous in his love, it is part of our DNA as the followers of Jesus Christ to be generous as well. This isn't something that is sacrificial or hard or that we can say, hey, we're wonderful. It's just what happens because God generously pours his love on us and therefore it flows out of us. And so this morning, I want to share a little bit of this message to you again. I want to read to you from 1 John 3 says this, How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Lavished. Can't stop it. It's coming right, left, and center. That we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Amen. God has always had this message of love, and even with the people of Israel, this is his generosity. Sometimes we think of those first books in the Old Testament, there's a lot of law. There's a lot of love in those first books. In Deuteronomy, and about God pouring out his love on his people Israel. And so in Deuteronomy, God is giving a message of love to his people, which is pertinent for us today. Remember the context we're in. We're in a context of the Father lavishing his love on us. And this is what he says to his people. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Let's keep those images in our mind about the heart. Do not be hard-hearted, or tight-fisted. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will towards the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. So he's talking about freely, open hands, and a heart that is not grudging. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. This is just a note on that last, there were. Jesus was kind to people in the land. Some scholars think that Jesus, you remember when he said that, you always have the poor? Jesus was kind of giving a fill-in-the-blank question for those of us that are quizzing, you know? What's after that? And everyone that was listening knew there will always be poor, therefore, give generously. It's kind of like a no-brainer in the kingdom of God. Because there's poor, you get to be generous, because God is generous with you. So this is the message of God and his people. Be generous. Never hold things for yourself so tightly that you couldn't give them away. Don't let your heart be jaded. You know, with another message that God has sent me, boom, in front of me with my children, is that oftentimes with the toys they have, and we are into cars and trucks, we love cars and trucks. But sometimes my kids will grab all their little cars and trucks, as many as they can in their arm, and they don't want to share, because we all know the best toy in the room is the one that's in someone else's hand, right? And they go to the corner and they're hiding their toys. And I see them with these clenched hands and holding their little cars so tightly to themselves. They are not enjoying the gifts because they're so worried about holding it onto themselves. And it's like the Lord says, Heather, this is also something that happens in your life. Okay, Lord, what am I holding on so tightly that has been a gift from you that I do not have the privilege of being generously and freely sharing with other people? Do not be tight-fisted. I know what it's like to have a hard heart. I work in a lot of ministries. I work in orphanages and rehab homes. We have all these ministries that it's easy for me to get a hard heart and think all addicts are this way. Oh, we had a bunch of five alcoholic fathers passed away in the fall. I thought, yep, that's what happens. Another family of kids growing up without a dad. And when I center my life around all the need that is around me and all the horrible things that happen because of the fall, my heart gets all jaded and grudging. But if I center myself in the message of God and his unfailing and relentless love for me, my heart stays nice and soft, and that generous thing just keeps happening because that's what it does. It is part of your DNA to be generous because God has generously given to you. And in the case of Israel, this affects everything. It affects their international relationships. It affects the family. You know why international relationships this affects? Because if they share amongst themselves, they never have to get a loan from another country. And if they never have to get a loan from another country, they will never go to war with another country. So being generous amongst yourself also affects how things happen beyond the four walls. But it affects the family, it affects health, it affects society in many levels when we're able to be generous. And God knows that, and we get to follow his example. People that are living. So I want to share with you a few stories today of people that are living on the other side of this message. They have not heard, or they're just beginning to hear about Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you to pray with me. That's my challenge you today. Would you hear these stories and say, that one story stuck with me, that's the one I'm going to take away and pray with it, because we are in a time when we just really need to get on our knees and do a lot of battle on our as we pray. So as many of you know, I'm involved in different ministries, but I'm going to specifically tell you some stories from the Braveheart ministry. You've walked with us in this ministry. Braveheart is working with the indigenous. Many of our friends come from communities out in the mountains, and they come to the city looking for a better opportunity, but oftentimes they find their kids on drugs or paint thinner or on the streets, and they live these very vulnerable and at-risk lives. And that I'm not even touching the surface of what happens in human trafficking because of this whole recipe of being vulnerable. But we've also had the privilege of going to some of these villages. And we didn't realize at the time we were actually working with a least reached people group. They were just our friends. We weren't being strategic or anything. But turns out one of the villages where we go, it's illegal to be a Christian. And that means if you accept Jesus, this is a foreign God, not a God accepted in their culture, you have to leave. And sometimes that happens more forcefully than another in a large family. Let me tell you a story about Roger. Roger had two wives and a large family. And 10 years ago, one of his little boys got very sick. Because there's no health care in the community they live in, there's a lot of, not much of anything. You know, even the school is a dirt floor with just a roof over top. People live in a lot of poverty and lack of resource. And so there's no health care, so he goes down the mountain about 5 hours, gets his son to a hospital, but it's too late. And so Roger, who is a strong man, respected in the community, is left on the street corner with a child that hasn't made it. And there was at the same time a man who knew Jesus at that same hospital. And he saw a man mourning for the loss of his child, and he couldn't just leave him there. He walked over and said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" And Roger said, "I want to get back home, and I have no way of getting there." So instead of giving him money or sending him on his way, he said, "I have a truck, and I'm going to drive you those 5 hours back up the mountain." When this man who knew Jesus got to the community, he could see no one there had ever heard about Jesus. And because of that irresistible, overwhelming, generous love of God, he couldn't help himself. This was his Kairos moment. He had been born for this. So while he ate tortillas with his family sitting around a fire, he began to tell them, over and over, the promises of Jesus. He stayed family, knew this, who Jesus was, what he does when he comes into our life. And the family knew this was it. They had been oppressed by their local system, their cultures. They had seen how women are abused and treated like property, and they knew something was wrong with it. And so Roger decides to make a bold move. He puts his faith in Jesus, and all of his family with him does the same thing. But this causes havoc in the community. If you don't call on the corn god anymore, you cannot plant harvest, so you cannot feed your family. If you don't call on another god, you can't have cattle and share it with the community. And the community was outraged. So they tied his hands together. They took his wives and children away from him. They burned his house down, took everything away from him. When we ask Roger today, what was going through your mind? Did you think you were just a brand new Christian, days old in the faith when that happened? And he said, no, because they had told us there was something in the Psalms about persecution, or I knew Jesus was true because he was fulfilling his promise that we would be persecuted. So Roger and his family end up leaving that community, and they start the first Huichol Christian community 5 hours away. God is on the move, and he is doing things. We are expecting this to happen again and again in this community, and it's not because of what we're doing as a ministry when we go up and visit. It's in the, you can't stop Jesus. You can't stop the Spirit. People are having dreams, and they're catching pieces of the Bible, and they're calling on a cell phone their cousin who became a Christian, and they're hearing about Jesus and longing for his presence in their lives too. And I want to tell you another story. Roger and his family begin to pastor this home. And Braveheart, our ministry, we go up and we help in the high school. We go up and we do medical brigades. And many times when we've gone up, we think it's our last time in. Because if they were to find out that we were a Christian ministry, we'd be out of there. Hopefully we'd get out. Because the community is very opposed to their culture being touched. So we have decided, we need to let some of those people know that we follow Jesus. We pray for them. The people that have received us into our house, we've openly shared faith with them. And just 3 months ago, Braveheart did a trip. I was not on this trip. They went up to a funeral of a lady who had received us in their home. Alma was a lady who, over the fire, we shared with Jesus and we prayed for her. But Alma's skirt caught on fire in that fire in her kitchen. And from what was just something very preventable, Alma ended up dying from the burns on her body from that. So some of our Braveheart members went up to that funeral. I just want to take a Braveheart workers. The people that are going up to that ministry, they're the full-time Braveheart workers, Mexicans leading this ministry. They're the ones that 10 years ago told me that I was crazy and that they were anti-Christian, anti-Jesus, anti-church. But Jesus is so gracious and so good. And he has deeply touched their lives. And they have been discipled. They've gone to seminary. And they're giving their lives full time in the ministry to do trips like this and go to some of the most dangerous places in the country. So they came down from this funeral and they're feeling discouraged. Our person of peace, the person had taken us into their home, has passed away, and the funeral was infuriating. They said that Alma had died because of this or that, and really she had been treated as a piece of property as a woman. And they're discouraged. They're waiting for their bus, and they see a young Huichol woman. You can see how they dress, with brightly colored, and she yells across the street, "Blessed be the Lord God Almighty! Wait for me!" And she books it across the street. And they thought it was a trap. They thought they were being spied on. And the girl said to me, "I have wanted to tell you my story forever. 6 years ago, you came up to visit our community, and you were joking around the fire, and one of our men said to a young man in the Braveheart group, 'You know what, you should just take a wife from here. Just take another one. We have 2, 3, 4 wives. Just take a girl from here as your..." Well, and one of those guys, a brand new Christian, just said off the cuff, "Well, I just want one wife. That's God's plan for me." And this young gal had just been given away in marriage and was in the corner, 14 years old, making tortillas by hand. But the Holy Spirit poked some light in that darkness of hers. And she was intrigued. "What? There's a God that says you can only have one wife?" So when her husband brought home another wife, she packed up all her belongings in one plastic bag and walked and walked and walked and walked through mountains until she got to a bus stop, where she met a Huichol Christian person that had been expelled and is in Roger's community. They took her home. They loved on her. She heard about Jesus, this God, and many things happened in her life. She realized she was pregnant. The Christian said, "We're going to take care of you. We will be your family. We're going to help you raise this boy. And by the way, would you like to go to school?" She meets Jesus. She's having this awesome experience with Jesus, puts in her application to go to nursing school, gets a full scholarship. She's telling us a story, and she's like, but the whole time, Jesus is transforming my life. Look at me. Look at, I am radiant, because Jesus has come into my life, and he has changed me. She said, I know that it's not just you guys. I know that there are a lot of people who are praying for me and my people. We hear, would you go and tell them my story? And keep praying for my people. We hear stories here and there about the generous, overwhelming, relentless love of God touching people like Celia's life. So I'm going to leave you with one final story. This is where I want to ask you, would you pray with us? The more and more we go into this community, the more and more we see it is all about spiritual warfare and very little about what we end up doing when we go into these communities. There is so much happening there. So recently we realized again, oh, that lady there, I just want to tell you, this lady here is Benita, and Benita decided to follow Jesus, and her house was burnt down. She never told anyone she decided to follow Jesus, and she thinks that someone saw a Bible in her house and burnt down the house to burn down the Bible. And since that time, Benita hasn't let us know that she's still following Jesus. So we're praying for Benita. You can join us in praying for Benita, that she would know Jesus abundantly and fully, and that the spirit and the stronghold of fear and death would be defeated in her life. Okay, so I'm going back to we in Braveheart Ministries see like this is an open door to go in with medical help to the community. So we're working together with many organizations. Doctors Without Borders is one of them. And we go into the community to ask for permission. They have these community meetings. Can we come in and do a medical brigade this November? But let me rewind the story a little bit. One of the local authorities, his picture will be up here. You'll see him. There we are. Jamie, months earlier, had been riding his horse, and he had fallen off of his horse, broken his hip, taken down to the hospital. So he was in the hospital for a matter of days, but he could not go back up the hospital with a broken hip. And so it turns out in the Christian community was his daughter. His daughter had married a guy, and they'd become Christians, left the community. And so she had been ostracized from her dad. She hears her dad's in the hospital, she goes, gets him, and this man is taken into the Christian, the same man that has burnt their homes. The same man that has persecuted is now taken in by the community of Christians and cared for until his hip hurt is heals. This is like a huge secret. The community he's from, they think he was in the hospital the whole time, but he's being cared for by the Christians this entire time. And no one knows. Except one day he wakes up, he goes to the bathroom, and the Braveheart ministry people were there, and they happened to go to the bathroom at the same time. So he's realizing these people that come into our community, they too are Christian. So we go into the community months after this encounter, and the gal Paulina, who leads Braveheart, goes up to the microphone. Jamie's standing right beside her, and she begins to talk about the ministry. We like to go into communities. We always take a message of hope. We want to see your people healed. I've seen you to serve you. And Jamie says, I know you. I've seen you somewhere. Ah. He takes the microphone away from her and says, but it's okay. Come and heal our people. We can't help but think that the Spirit has begun a work in Jamie. We don't really know. But would you pray with us? This November, we want to take in a really large team of doctors, of dentists, of all kinds of help. And we ask that, would you pray with us that Jamie's heart and life would be deeply touched by the Father's love for him? God loves us so much that he calls us not to live with a begrudging heart or with tight fists. How can we give generously through this generous love to us so that people like Jamie would know God's generous love and be able to give generously in their communities as well? God is on the move and doing this through many ways in different ministries, but today these are the ones I want to share with you. Sometimes we wonder, is it worth it all? There's a lot of struggles, but we have seen God over and over touch our lives in a personal way, revealing himself to us so that he can be revealed to other people. I would like to encourage you to pray, and I would like to pray for you. I am deeply touched by your generosity to us through the years, and I know that many people are walls. He's multiplying his work around the nations and the world because of what happens within these four walls. So I want to say thank you, and I want to challenge you to prayer, and I want to pray for you. Let's pray. We just want to say again, Father, that we come in saying that we get caught up in our lives and in social media. We get caught up in needs. And that has focused and centered our lives at times. And for that, we repent. We come together individually and as a body, and we repent. It's kept us from having open hands, and it's led us towards living like hard-hearted people. We see your call to generosity is because of who you are, and we want to release the things that we hold on so tightly so that you could flow generously through us. I want to bless this church for their generosity, Lord, and I ask that you would multiply it in them and their sister churches and the community. We ask, Spirit, would you just fall on us? We're needy. Way more of you, Jesus. With these open hands, we want way more of you than we had. We want way more of you, Jesus, than we've had. We want to long for Jesus. We want to see that powerful move of the Spirit, that relentless love flowing through us. God. We believe you're doing it here, and we just ask that you would flow through TDAC to the nations again and again. We don't just want to hear about it. We want to be a part of it. And we come together this morning and pray for Jamie. We think that you are starting to poke some holes of light in his darkness. Blessed be your name for that, for you are awesome. And we ask for more. Jesus, would you fill Jamie and the community around him with the power of the Spirit to see Jesus for who he is? Would you step on the lies? May they be under the feet of the people that live in that community. And where there needs to be spiritual encounters, Lord, we pray that you would reign and there would be order and that you would show people who you truly are and they would live like Celia with faces that are radiant. We delight in you, God, because of your good. Thank you so much for who you are and for who we are because of who you are. Amen.